Next item on the agenda is discussion, proposed permit process for application. Nope, process for applications requesting authorization to remove submerged timber logs from state-owned bottomlands. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission. You all may recall this is the discussion item tabled last month regarding a proposed permit process for applications requesting authorization to remove submerged timber logs from state-owned submerged bottomlands. To briefly summarize, we received a joint permit application to remove these logs from a non-tidal river in Southampton County back in the summer, and some of these logs are perceived to have a high monetary value due to their preserved state of old-growth timber. And the commission has no permit process in place to remove such submerged logs, so staff attempted to create an application and review process. And since last month, staff has communicated directly with the Department of Forestry and revised our proposed process. An email from the Department of Forestry's Assistant Director of Forestry Management is in your packet. And it contains details of setting timber values and possible recommendations for the commission to utilize in a future process. And so to briefly summarize staff's proposed criteria, in black, these are the issues and points listed and reviewed at last month's hearing. And in the white text, there are issues that were raised by commission members and also recommended from the Department of Forestry. So I'll go over those pretty quickly. First, we would take a completed permit application and have it reviewed by the Department of Historic Resources, Game and Inland Fisheries, and Department of Forestry as part of our public interest review. We'd also create a public notice in our local newspaper or in the local newspaper of the area. And if granted, a one-year non-exclusive permit would be granted for a section of waterway. That permit would not allow the removal of logs submerged in bank or bottom sediments. A log removal would only occur at private boat ramps with the private owner's authority. The permittee must submit a date record of all log removals. And then some of the additional components, no storing or moving of the logs around in the waterway, and that included the provision that logs couldn't be raised and dropped or released back into the water. A commission permit fee would be set for $100. And the last two items here I want to read specifically because they're a bit more technical, specifically coming from the Department of Forestry. And the recommendation is that the permittee must provide a mill volume ticket, which is essentially a receipt for the log, to the commission for each log removed and sold. And this ticket must detail the log species and the number of board feet contained. The number of board feet would be calculated using the International Quarter-Inch Log Rule. And last, the permittee must pay a royalty to the commission for each log removed. And this amount is to be calculated based on the actual number of board feet per log. And the current upland stumpage value as set by the publication Timber Mart South. And this is a publication used by the Department of Forestry to calculate timber values, and they use it as part of their timber harvesting bid process. That stumpage value is what a landowner could expect to receive for that particular upland timber log. Then the mill volume ticket, including a calculation of the stumpage value and the actual royalty payment, would be forwarded to the commission within 15 days of the log sale. And once received, staff would then coordinate with the Department of Forestry to confirm that that value was calculated correctly. We do acknowledge, however, that the value of the submerged logs may be much greater than the upland value of timber. However, those values are difficult for us to predict or for the industry to predict, and the actual recovery process is very specialized and can be costly. Again, this is just our effort to create a pilot program for the submerged log removal activities, and we acknowledge this process may need to evolve and be modified. And if a permit is issued, we'd offer to come back at the one-year expiration of that permit and provide all findings to the commission and any further recommendations.
Any questions of Justin?
I have just one question.
Mr. Tankard?
When you say submerged, how do you kind of envision submerged? Is that partially covered? stump that's halfway in the mud on top of it.
You mean submerged in sediment or submerged?
Yeah, submerged in sediment, yeah.
Just as in talking with the applicant, we don't envision any scenario where a portion of the log would be submerged or partially submerged in the sediment. And if it was, I don't think it would qualify, or at least our position would be that it wouldn't qualify for our permit. Now, a lot of that would depend on what the permittee is telling us. This particular permittee, unfortunately, he's not here, or applicant. He has told me, and I've inspected and seen his equipment, he doesn't have the capacity to remove anything that's submerged, and that would be a difficulty, I think, for sort of a small-time operation.
What's he doing? What's he doing? Using a choker chain and a pulley?
Basically just going down and strapping the log, and he's told me that the logs he's envisioning removing are basically sitting on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Lane?
You said that any logs that are raised would have to be removed from the waterway. Suppose the log is of no value. Then what would happen? You wouldn't charge a royalty, I presume, and then how would you dispose of that?
I would think an upland disposal would be warranted, and we could make that a condition in the permit. I think that was raised by one of the commission members last month to prevent that very thing where an applicant or permittee picks up a log and says, this is no good, drop it back over. Now, of course, if we're not there, I don't know how we would know, but if he does remove something and it's of no value, then he'd have to dispose of it on the upland.
Mr. Fox?
I think that's entirely acceptable because you don't want him to be high grading the logs. And if he drops them back overboard, they're very likely to become a navigation hazard. So I think the way you have it is very good. While I'm talking, this seems to be a very orderly procedure and certainly is consistent with what happens on the upland and makes a lot of sense to me. And on a trial basis, we see what happens, and maybe this is not enough money, but it's certainly an appropriate start, it seems to me.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Justin, I just want to make sure I understand the mechanics by which the royalty would be assessed. So they would have a mill ticket that documents the volume, and then that would be compared with these timber values that are stump prices. Would they be charged essentially the full amount of that stump value or some portion of that?
Yes. I mean,
full amount.
The stumpage value would be calculated. And if you look at the email that's attached with the book, yes, that would be applied to the board fee. And then that amount would come to the state as the landowner. And then he's to make, assuming he's to make the profit that exceeds the,
right,
the stumpage value.
Okay.
And keep in mind, that's an upland stumpage value. So we are assuming, and I'm assuming he's assuming as well, that the value of the log is much greater than the stumpage value, sure, that's listed in TimberMark. And that's why we would also consult with Department of Forestry afterwards to make sure it was calculated and assessed correctly.
Right. I guess I would just comment, this seems like a reasonable starting point for a pilot-type program, and I would think we could further evaluate it after a year and see how it performs.
I'd sure like to see what the actual receipt is after the mill ticket went in as far as the disbursement was concerned, and see what the correlation is between the stump value and the real value.
I'll offer that I will willingly go out on one of the trips if he makes it so available. See how it goes. And
what's going to happen when you get there? They're going to drop them off in the yard. They're going to measure them. You're going to get the mill tickets, nothing but something with a bunch of dots on it. They take the dots in, run it through the sawmill office. That generates a ticket. The ticket then will then ultimately determine how much is going to be dispersed to the logger. So unless you know how to calculate a mill ticket, all it is dots, length, dots, and species. So I would just be interested to see somehow, some way through whatever mechanics we have, to make sure that it's not 10, 12, 14 times what the actual saw timber value is. I don't think that it's going to be, but just a little leery, I guess. So what do we need to do? I guess we need to adopt a regulation or propose, or can we do it by permit by rule?
I don't, we didn't think
Ernie?
A regulation was necessary.
I don't think a regulation was necessary.
All right.
In my mind, this is just the procedure under which we administer the permit program.
Okay.
This particular activity. So mm-hmm. We start assessing parameters.
Fine. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. with respect to the value issue, I wonder if we could just require an annual report as a condition of the permit that documents the value of the production. And that way we can evaluate the pilot at the end of the first year and go from there.
I would imagine we would keep a record with that permit of everything we receive and everything that he has received. So, I mean,
bring it down. I'd like to see it.
If we ever get one.
Yeah. Motion.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve the permit requirements as proposed by staff with the condition that we also get an annual report of the value of the production.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins, second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it.